We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Glad to see you all survived Black Friday and Black Friday Part 2, also known as Small Business Saturday. And I am very happy that you decided not to participate in Stay Home Sunday, which is the day when everybody stays home from church to recover from all the shopping before they have to go back to work on Monday. I'm glad you're here. You are here to join us in fellowship. And I'm glad to have the opportunity to worship with you. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, if you're watching this online, you're here too, in spirit. And I'm thankful for you. You're joining us in fellowship today. You're receiving this same message along with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're praying for you, and I would hope that you would be in prayer for us. We have several people who watch our videos online who we've never met. If this is you, thank you. We're really thankful for you. And I hope that someday we get the chance to meet you. I hope someday you'll get the chance to be here in person. We would love to meet you face to face. If you're watching online, or if you're here today at Redemption Church, I am glad you're here receiving this message. I hope you are blessed by it. I hope you will share it with someone. I feel like this is an important message, and I am glad you are here to receive it. You are here. Now, if you've been a part of Redemption Church for a little while, you might start to get a sense of deja vu. Don't be alarmed. I preached a message with this same title almost exactly 2 years ago. It was November 27th, I believe, 2012. At the time, Redemption was moving from our former location on the south side of Parker Road to our current location here at the Ivy School. And this year, as we were considering renewing our lease and deciding if we were going to move again, God called that message to mind and led me to go and review it. There were a lot of similar things on my heart. And so I went back and looked at that message. Fortunately, it's posted on our website, so I could find it right there. And if you want to go back and watch it and see one of my early attempts at preaching, it's there for you as well. But since it's already out there, and you guys can go watch it whenever you want, I didn't want to just say the same things over again. So I went back and updated the whole thing. So I hope you're here mentally and spiritually, and not just physically, because this message is for you here today. You are here. That's a pretty simple statement. It seems obvious. You are here. Where else would you be? Turn to someone. Tell them you are here. If you're watching this online, pause the video and go find somebody and tell them you are here. Even if you have to leave the room or the building, we'll wait. We'll be here for you when you come back. These three words sound obvious, maybe even unnecessary, but in the right context, they can be very important. They can serve as a guide or a helpful pointer. They can be a warning, or they can act as a reminder. I went to the mall yesterday, along with most of the rest of the DFW Metroplex. I made it back alive. Praise God for that. I was looking for a particular store. I was at the Town East Mall. I'd never been there before. So, first thing I did, I went and found the big map. You guys familiar with the big map in the mall?
Yeah.
Lays out where everything is at. And when I found the map, I looked for the little arrow that says, you are here. Because if you're going to find anything, you need to know where you're at. All right, so I found you are here. I found the store I was looking for, and I figured out how to get there. All right, but when I saw that arrow, those three words, you are here, they also reminded me. They reminded me, you are here at the mall, and you haven't finished writing your sermon. So it was a good reminder. So I got on with my business, and I got back home and got to work. These three words can be important. They can help to remind us. They can call our attention to something important. It's important to know where you are. If you don't know where you are, that's commonly known as being lost. All right, Jonathan, where are you? You're here. Where's here? Right there. Good answer. It's good to know where you are. You're here at Redemption Church, 903 West Parker Road. It seems easy nowadays to know where you are. Our phones have GPS, even my snazzy new phone. We can track our locations all the time, everywhere we go. The government does, and ad agencies do, so we might as well. You can tell where we're at, but this question of where are you applies to other areas of life that our phones may not track. Consider, where are you financially? Where are you in terms of your family life? In terms of your health? Where are you with regard to your education or your occupation? Where are you in your faith life? Do you really want to be lost financially? Do you really want to be lost in terms of your relationships? No. That's why it's important to know where you're at. You need to evaluate your situation. Periodically, we need to make an honest evaluation of where we are in all aspects of life. How will you know where you are if you don't check? Jesus told a parable in Matthew 7, starting with verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Which one are you? Now, really, our lives aren't entirely just one or the other. Every day, we're building. It's not enough that we were building on the rock 5 years ago if we don't know what we're doing today. Every day we're building a little bit. Are you building on the sand or on the rock? How will you know if you don't check? We all want to do what it says in our memory verse. 2 Timothy 2:15, present yourselves to God as one approved, without shame, who correctly handles the word of truth. We want to present ourselves to God as one approved. Sure, that sounds great, but what if we're not sure? We're approved. We often don't evaluate our situation because we're afraid of the answer. Or we think we already know. I'm sure it's fine. I don't want to take a look. But how do you really know? And what's worse? Getting a bad answer and being able to make a change and move in a new direction? Or having that bad answer be true and not knowing about it, being lost. How can you know where you stand unless you check? If you don't know where you are, you're lost. It's crucial that we be honest in our assessment. If you stand far enough away, it doesn't matter how bad things are, they all look the same. It's like this picture. You are here. Yeah, sure. All right. That's where everybody is. Looks all right to me. Is that useful? No. You can't tell what's going on there. From a certain angle, everything looks fine. You can, sometimes you can, if you look at your life a certain way, you know, things aren't that bad, and it all kind of, it's all right. Things look fine. That's usually the side that we present to the world. Yeah, see? I'm good. Just don't look back here. But we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest in our evaluation. Only you and God know where you are truly at. And sometimes it's difficult even to be honest with ourselves. Have you ever met someone that seemed like they could be in two places at once? Those are always the go-getters. Yeah. Man, it's that guy seems like he's in two places at once. You can do that. We can all do that. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." You can be in church, but your heart can be elsewhere. You can be with your family, and your heart can be somewhere entirely different. Where is your heart? You have to be honest with yourself. It's not enough to just say, "Well, I'm in church. It must be good enough." No, you got to dig deep. God knows where your heart is at. Are you willing to take a look and evaluate for yourself? And God can help us make that assessment, but we have to be open to what He has to say. We may not like what He has to say. It may be challenging or surprising, but it's always the truth, and it's always for our benefit, so we need to be open to it. The Bible tells us about a rich young ruler who went to Jesus, and he said, "Good teacher, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And first Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." And he said, "Great, I do that. I'm good." And Jesus said, "Hold on. You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me." He didn't like that answer, and he went away sad. He wasn't ready for the honest evaluation that Jesus gave him. At the same time, our Bible tells us about Gideon. When we first meet him, he is threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it hidden because he's scared of the enemy forces that are coming and taking all their food. So he's hiding in a wine press, and an angel of the Lord comes to him and says, "Behold, mighty man of valor." And Gideon says, "Who are you talking to? Because it's just me here." God saw more in him than he saw in himself. So it's not always going to be a beat down when you turn to God and say, "Hey, God, help me assess where am I at." Sometimes he sees things in you that you don't even know about yet. But we need to make that honest evaluation. We need to take a look and see where we're at. If nothing else, it provides us with a starting point, a place to start from so things can start getting better. From wherever you're at, with God, things can always improve. So Once you make that evaluation, we also need to realize you are here for a reason. There's a reason that you are here. Sometimes you'll look at an area of your life and see that you've come a long way. You've made a lot of improvement. You've grown a lot in some area. You're doing great. That didn't just happen. That didn't just magically appear in your life. That took dedication and effort. You've reached this place in your life because you worked at it. There's a reason you've made it here. But sometimes you'll look at an area of your life and see that it hasn't changed so much. Things haven't really improved. Maybe things are getting worse. Most of the time, or more often than not, it's because we haven't put effort into that area of life. We've just kind of let it be and watched where it went. There's a reason that it hasn't improved. There's a reason you're here. Sometimes you may look and find yourself in a place that you don't want to be. We need to be honest about it. We need to look and make an honest evaluation. And we need to be honest with ourselves about how we got there. There are setbacks in life. We live in a broken world. Problems happen. Unexpected things happen. Things happen that are beyond our control. I get that. But when we find ourselves in a place that we don't want to be, we need to own the role that we played in getting there. If you find yourself in a negative place, financially or relationally or with your job or with your health, you need to do something different in order to get somewhere else. If you keep doing the same thing, it's not going to lead you anywhere different. Who are you following? Who or what guides you in your life? We all follow something. You can follow another person. Sometimes we see someone that we really admire and we try to model our life after them. Sometimes we can have a mentor, and that can be good. They can help guide us. But we need to be careful and be aware of who is guiding them. Or if we just pick a celebrity out there or someone in your life and you're like, look at that guy. Man, Bert really has stuff together. I want to be like Bert. We can try and follow him, but there's no telling where that will lead. They may not have your interests at heart. Lots of people chase after romance. They are constantly chasing after those romantic feelings. They'll follow a person, oh man, this is it. This is my one true love. And I really want to, you know, feel the happy butterflies forever. But those will fade. And then they'll jump to another person and they'll just be chasing butterflies their whole life. When you chase after romance, it often leads to heartache. Some people chase after money or status. But when they do that, they never seem to get there. And it often leads to an empty life. Now, you may say, nuh-uh, no, I don't follow anyone. I guide myself. I'm self-directed. Okay. How do you really follow yourself? If I try to follow myself, I'm just going to end up going in circles. We all follow something. And we need to be aware of where it's leading us. I only know of one guaranteed thing that will guide you somewhere good. I only know of one person who will guide you to a better place, and that is Jesus Christ. His word says, amen, praise God. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. If you feel like you're running in circles, maybe you need to trust in the Lord and he will make your paths straight for you. Not your own understanding. Trust in him. That can be hard to do. I put a lot of trust in my own understanding. But I trust that he is wiser than I am. And I trust that he will lead me somewhere good. Now, let me give somebody some hope today. You may have evaluated your situation and determined that there is no way out of where you're at right now. You're here and you're going to be here. You're kind of stuck. There isn't a way to get out. If there was, you would have taken it by now. Listen to the Word of God. Isaiah 42, verse 16. God says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn darkness into light before them and make rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. God will not forsake you. There is a way you do not even know about. There is a way you haven't seen. But God has. He will guide you. Trust in him with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. He will guide you in a way you have not known. He will make your path straight. Who have you been following? Where has it led? Don't give up hope. You can trust in the one who created the universe. He can create a way out of any situation that you find yourself in. You may have searched it thoroughly and there isn't a way out. This God is the God who created everything that you will ever know. He can create a way out of that situation for you. Now, that's not to say that God is going to pick you up and just move you to a completely different place. Boop. Now start over from here. When some people get into trouble or get into a bad situation, their first instinct is to cut and run. Just drop everything, leave it all behind, and start somewhere else. That's not necessarily how God does things. Even in the same place, God can make your situation new. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Amen. Yes. Behold, I am making all things new. God can make your situation new. No matter how long you felt like you've been stuck in it, God can make it new. He can change it. He can bring you to a new place, even where you're at. Jesus is making all things new. In Christ, you are a new creation. Maybe he will use you to change the situation. If you want things to change, you gotta add something new. Something has to be different. Well, if Christ comes into your heart and changes your life, maybe that's what it takes to change that situation. Behold, God is making all things new. After Jesus healed the possessed man, the man who was possessed by the legion of demons, that man desperately wanted to go with Jesus. In Luke chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Jesus changed his situation by changing him. He wanted to go someplace new, but Jesus said, "No, go back to your town and tell people about all that God has done." Don't get discouraged if you find yourself in the same place you were, in a place that you've been before. Evaluate your situation and realize you are there for a reason. Now, this is kind of a heavy sermon. I don't mean to be a downer. Sometimes it may not be like a really oppressive situation that we feel trapped in and that we're desperate and there's just no way out. A lot of times in our faith, we reach a plateau. Early on in our faith, we're growing and growing and we're learning new things and we're hungry for God's word. And then we kind of get to a place where we're praying and we read his word or we're active in church, but things are just stable. And we don't really feel like we're moving on, we're growing. We're just at a plateau and that's where things are going to be. I mean, I want to be growing in my faith, but I feel like I'm doing all I can. I don't know. This is just where I am. I am here, and this is where I'm going to be. Don't let that be you. We are to continually grow in our faith, in our knowledge of God, in our love for him. And so if you feel just sort of stuck, if you've plateaued out, God can help you push through that wall if you reach out to him. If you call on him, trust in him, and not on your own understanding. It may be in unexpected ways. It may be in areas that you have not known. But he will lead you, and he can help you to grow and continue to move on. Don't get discouraged. Evaluate your situation and realize you're here for a reason. Don't get discouraged if you find yourself in a place that you've been before. There are seasons in life. We are in the fall. We're about to enter winter, even though it's 75 degrees outside. Today is the first Sunday in Advent. This is actually the beginning of the church calendar. So we're entering the season of Advent as we're getting prepared for Christmas, for the coming of our King. I think we're about 3 months into the Christmas shopping season or so by my count. We're about to enter a new month. We're here at the end of November. We're about to enter December. But we move through these seasons in life. As the Bible says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Life tends to go in cycles. A year from now, we're going to be recovering from Thanksgiving and Black Friday and getting ready for Christmas, just like we are this year. At some point, you will find yourself back at a place where you've been before. That's not a bad thing. It tends to happen. And because it tends to happen, let me tell you, don't burn bridges. A lot of times, when we move on from a place, it can be tempting to go out with a bang. If somebody there did you wrong, well, I'm out of here, suckers. See you later. I mean, it can be tempting to burn bridges, to really let people have it on your way out the door. I'm never going to see these chumps again. Bye-bye. Don't do that. That's not loving your neighbor as yourself. And there's a chance you'll be back in that place again. You will see them again. You want them to remember you as their brother in Christ, as someone who loved them as Christ loved you, not as someone who treated them like dirt when you got the opportunity to escape. So don't burn bridges. at some point, you may find yourself back in a place where you've been before. There's always a reason. Life may put you there. As I said, we live in a broken world. We have setbacks. Sometimes unexpected things happen and put us back at a job. We thought we had moved on in our career, and suddenly we're back in the mailroom. With our health, with our relationships, things happen. Sometimes it's beyond our control. But sometimes we put ourselves there. If you don't have a vision for your life, if you keep doing the same things day after day, why would you expect to end up somewhere new? If you go back to behaviors or things that you used to do that you gave up for a while, don't be surprised if they lead you back to where you were before. The Bible puts it in even less friendly terms. It talks about a dog returning to its vomit. If you go back to things that you had turned away from, they're going to lead you back to where you were before. If you are disappointed by a lack of progress in your life, take it as an indication that you need to try something else. Sometimes we can put ourselves back in a place we were before, and it's a good thing. When you repent, that's a great thing. Because sometimes we can be headed in the wrong direction. We're headed away from God, full steam, and something happens. We make that honest assessment of our life, we evaluate where we're at and where we're going. And we say, no, this isn't right. This isn't leading anywhere good. Repentance is turning away from that, turning back to God. And as we turn back to God and head back towards Him, we may come back to things that we had passed before. We may return to places that we had been before, and that's a good thing. Praise God for that. In fact, God gives us the opportunity sometimes to make things right in places that we left on bad terms. Take those opportunities. Make things right. God may lead you back to places you have been before. Life may put you there. You may put yourself back there. Sometimes God leads us back to places that we've been before. Not as punishment, but to teach us something. Sometimes God wants to show us something, and sometimes we don't get it on the first pass. The Israelites were traveling through the wilderness. God had performed miracles to get them out of Egypt. He had parted the Red Sea to lead them out. He had led them through the wilderness and provided for their every need. And they got to the Jordan River. They got to the land that He had promised them. He had told them, I'm going to give you this land. He had been their provider. He had been there for them through the worst of times. And when they got there, they looked at it and said, no thanks. There's a bunch of people there, and they look really tough. I'd just as leave go back to Egypt. That looks bad. They didn't trust in God that He would be there for them on the other side of the Jordan River. And so He led them back through the wilderness for another 40 years to show them, until they finally got it, that it's not about what they could do. It's not about whether they could conquer these people or not. God was with them. And when God's with you, you can overcome anything. Amen. Sometimes God leads us back to a place to teach us something, to remind us of something. Sometimes it's to show us how far we've come. And when He does, praise Him for that. Maybe what you have learned since you've been back to this place can help others who are in a situation that you were in previously. Sometimes God will bring you back to help others out of that same situation. Maybe you're an answer to someone's prayers who feels like they're stuck or they don't know what to do. Maybe what Christ has done in you is what will change that situation. We've renewed our lease here at the Ivy School. We are still here. We're here for a reason. But we always want to know, well, why? Why are we here? What is the purpose? Well, we're here for a reason. You're here for a reason. Do you want to know what it is? Good. You're here for a reason. You are here to glorify God. Here today in this place, you are here to glorify God. Wherever you're at watching this message, you are here to glorify God. That is our purpose. No matter where you are, you can glorify God in that place. Your purpose, wherever you are, is to glorify God. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, from the Message Bible, Jesus tells us, "Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness, and you will end up in the garbage." Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors of this world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. No matter where you are in life, you can glorify God. But you need to know where you are so that when God calls you, you can respond, "Here I am. I'm here to glorify you." Throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, God would call to the fathers of our faith, and they would respond, "Here I am." They knew where they were. He called to Abraham. Abraham said, "Here I am." He called to Moses from the burning bush. Moses said, "Here I am." He called out to Samuel. "Here I am." Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" In fact, the first time that people sin, God doesn't ask, "What have you done?" The first thing he asks is, "Where are you? Where are you today?" Don't hide from God. We want to present ourselves to God as one approved. Don't hide from him. If you find yourself in a bad place, in a place you don't want to be, you can glorify God in that place. You can glorify him through repentance, turning back to him, heading back towards him. You can glorify God no matter where you're at. You are here. I am here. But none of us are at our final destination. Hopefully, we're all trying to move closer to God day by day. Are you working to make the place where you're at more like the kingdom of God? You are here. Are you at work in this place to glorify him, to be salt that brings out the God flavors of where you're at, to be light that illuminates the God colors of the place where you're at right now? No matter where you are here to glorify God. Amen. And we, Redemption Church, we are here to glorify God. God has led us back to the Ivy School. God has really blessed us. In case you don't know, our lease was coming due here in this place. And the church leadership were really praying and seeking God. Where do you want us to be? This is a wonderful place. He has blessed us to meet here and worship here. But we want to be good stewards of all that he trusts to us. This is a big place. And it may not match our size as a church right now. So we were looking around and seeing, is there a place, maybe we have to move to a smaller space and it would allow us to save some money. We want to use what he has given us as best as we can. So we were praying to him, Lord, lead us where you would have us go. And there were a couple options out there. And one by one, those doors closed. And so we were trusting in him, leaning not on our own understanding. Where does God want us to be? And out of the blue, the owner here came to us and said, hey, you guys' lease is coming up. You've been good tenants. How about when you renew, maybe your rent is going to be $500 cheaper a month? Praise God. We were seeking him and trying to see where he wants us to be. And out of nowhere, here, we're offered cheaper rent at the place where we already are. Praise him. That we didn't negotiate. The owner here, Leo, just came to us. Praise God. Man, so we're here. This is where God has led us to be. We take that as a clear indication. We are here. This is where we're going to be. And we are here to glorify God. And that's what we do every week. We do the three things. We worship him. We receive his word. And we talk to him. But how are we going to glorify him? What else are we going to do? How are we going to glorify him in new ways? He has led us back to this place. We're here for a reason. How are we going to use this whole place to bring him glory? Who will you bring? We got a lot of chairs. Who can you reach out to? What will you do in this place? How will you share the gospel? How will you take what you receive here and share it to bring him glory? You are here. We are here. But we're not alone. God is here also. He will never leave you or forsake you. And his word says something interesting. In Isaiah 58, verse 9, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. We're not the only ones who say, here I am. When we call out to him, he's there with you. He says, hey, I'm here too. Here I am. I'm here for you. Are you here for him? Today, in this moment, you're here. You're in this place. He's here. Are you here for him? Every week we open these altars and invite everyone to come and talk to God. We are here to glorify him. So I invite you to come and praise him for all that he has done. Come, glorify him just by taking a step and reaching out to him. That glorifies him. These altars are open. I invite you to come and reach out.
Thank you for joining us
today.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.